It's good to have you here today, and this week we are wrestling with the question, what is sin? As part of that, we're dealing with questions related to sin. And our first question was the question of origins. Where does sin come from? And over the last 2 days, I've demonstrated from the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, that sin comes from Satan. Sin originates with him, and to this very day, the devil has been tempting all people everywhere to sin, to rebel against God, just like he did, is doing, and will continue to do until the day of his final judgment and castigation by God. And that day will come, and we look forward to it. But until that day, be very aware, Satan is subtle, Satan is a seducer, and Satan is a liar and a murderer. We learned that yesterday. Today, we come to a second question, a sub-question, as it were, under the banner of what is sin. And this question is this. Since Satan brought sin into the world, does that then mean that God will not hold Adam and Eve accountable for their sin? I mean, if Satan is to blame for sin, then God is not going to put any of the blame for sin on Adam and Eve, and likewise, on any of us today, right? Wrong. Let me be very clear about this. I do not want you to misunderstand me. All people everywhere, for all time, are completely responsible for our own sin. God will hold us accountable for our sin. Let me say that again. All people everywhere, for all time, are completely responsible for our own sin. God will hold us accountable for our sin. We cannot say legitimately, the devil made me do it. That is unacceptable to God. Adam and Eve did not have to fall. They, like us, have a choice. And the first people sinned voluntarily. No one, not even Satan, made them sin. In the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, there's a short sentence tucked into the text that has application here. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29 says, "Behold, I have found only this, that God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices." God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. Ecclesiastes 7:29. In other words, God made the human being with the capacity to obey his law and keep God's commands. But what did Adam and Eve do? They did the exact same thing that we would have done if we had been them. They willingly, voluntarily, and by their own decision chose to sin. They broke the law of God and did not keep his command, and we're the same. In the words of Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes, we have sought out many devices, meaning we have found out, even invented, many different ways to sin. Once again, I count on the best writer on the biblical teaching of sin that I know, Thomas Watson. He writes in A Body of Divinity, quote, "Free will was a sufficient shield to repel temptation. The devil could not have forced Adam unless Adam gave his consent. Satan was only a suitor to woo, not a king to compel," unquote. I love that last line. Satan was only a suitor to woo, not a king to compel. And that's right. They could have told the serpent no, but instead they said yes. And this is scary for us because, as Watson adds, if our nature was this weak when it was at its best, what is it now that it is at its worst? In other words, if the first people living in perfection and in sweet, unbroken communion with God chose to sin, then what will we, sunk in our own sinful nature, do? It is clear what we will do. We sin, 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 and we sin some more. According to the Bible in Genesis 3, this is what God does. He curses Satan. There is accountability for the evil one. He curses Eve. There is accountability for the first woman. And he curses Adam. There is accountability for the first man. God holds Satan, the man, and the woman accountable, but notice that God does not hold himself responsible for sin. I will get to that. Where is this specifically? Well, it's in the following verses of Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3, verses 14 and 15 is the curse of God on Satan. Genesis 3, verse 16 is the curse of God on the woman. And Genesis 3, verses 17, 18, and 19 is the curse of God on the man. Due to the limits on our time together, I'm not going to read those texts for you today, but I really want to encourage you, get out your Bibles before you go to sleep tonight and read Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. It's only six verses, but they're crucial for you to read because the curses they received that day also apply to Satan, men and women, today. This curse on man certainly applies to me, I could tell you that. For example, God says the woman will experience pain in childbirth. Every mother listening to me knows giving birth to your daughters and sons was painful. And for men, God says that work will be toil. Well, do you find your work a complete joy, a job that you can't wait to get back to tonight or tomorrow morning? This is Thursday, and I bet almost without exception you're happy it's Thursday because tomorrow is Friday, and that is, for many of you, the last work day of the week. For thousands of you, it is not the last work day of the week because you need to work all weekend in order to provide for yourselves and your families. Now, why are you so happy about whatever time your work ends and you get a break from work if it is not toil, sweat, and really jolly hard? It is likely that something I have been saying is bothering you, or at least you'd like to kind of put up a hand and raise a question right about now. If you're listening to me and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, then I guarantee you'll want me to address the following. And dear Christian, when you obey God and diligently share your faith with other people who are not believers, don't you get the following question? Why do I get cursed for Adam and Eve's sin? You say, I wasn't there. I didn't do it. I never took a bite of that fruit. So why am I cursed? I think this question is valid. It's a very human question. But are you prepared for the answer? Ultimately, I do not know. I explained to you weeks ago that I am okay with not knowing. Only God knows. This is one of those why did God questions that are unanswerable because God does not need to defend himself and has not chosen to give us the ultimate answer in the Word of God. But the Bible clearly teaches what theologians call original sin. And the Scripture clearly says that Adam serves as a representative of all people for all time, and therefore his sin is our sin. So let me give you a few key passages that teach this in the Bible. These are from the Old and New Testament. They are Psalm 51:5, Jeremiah 17:9, and then the ultimate, Romans 5, verses 12 and 19. I'm going to read each one of these. Just focus with me for a minute as I read them, and then read them on your own later. You can do it. Just put down your phone and spend 5 to 10 minutes rereading these. Psalm 51:5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." In other words, the psalmist is saying, I was born in sin. I'm a born sinner. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Some translations say, "The heart is desperately wicked." Oh, yes, it is. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned." And Romans chapter 5 and verse 19a, the first part of verse 19 says, "For as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners." And of course, when the Bible uses the word man here, it means men and women. All people for all time are infested with the disease of sin. And we were born with it. These scriptures prove that there is original sin, that Adam and Eve's sin poisoned all the people who come after them. And I actually do not think this is hard to understand in practice. Now, if you want to debate original sin theologically, write to me. But just think honestly about yourself. Wait, that's too hard. Let's make this easier. Observe a child. Any child. Your own child. Well, still too personal. Okay, other people's children. I know your children are perfect. This will work even better if you're around a baby. Do you hear that baby scream? These are the roots of impatience. Talk to that baby's mother and ask her how demanding that boy or girl can be about getting fed. Ask a new dad about the wah he has to listen to all throughout the night. Be around a child in his or her terrible twos when a parent has to danger-proof the entire home because it's natural for a child to do the opposite of what you tell them. And parent or grandparent that little terror at age 6 and brace, brace, brace for the teenage years. You see, don't you, that original sin is real and it affects every child. They're all born with it. Born sinners. And of course, I do not have to tell you about sin in the body, soul, mind, sin in the mouth, hands, feet, and spirit of the adult man and woman. You're around it all day, every day. You live with sinners. You work with sinners. You go to school with sinners. You watch sinners on TV. You shop with sinners. You play with sinners. You drive behind sinners. I know you know that as they honk their horns at you and more. Okay, our time is up again, but come back tomorrow and we will end the week with more on the nature of sin and its terrifying effect on all of us. Join me tomorrow for God is...